As we continue focusing on what it means to follow Jesus, you and I need to understand the truth about real life. Now, when I'm talking about understanding truth about real life, it simply means pay attention to what's going on with you, with your family, with our nation, with our communities. Because you see, Jesus says during those days, and people say, are you saying we're close to the end of the age? When did the last time begin? Actually, it began 2,000 years ago with Jesus on the cross. He ushered in the church age, which would be the final age before his second coming. Nobody knows when the Lord's coming back except for him. But the Lord says, here's what I want you to pay attention to. I want you to make sure you are on the right side of something. Are you on the right side of love? Something that is really, really different that you and I need to have in our heart, within our mind, and focusing on the word love. You see, the word love is the power to the gate of heaven. And the word love, same word, is the power through the gates of hell. Love can either focus on hell or love can focus on heaven. So, you know, the focus of our life is this. We are alive today because God says, I love you. I've created you. I've molded you into my own image. And I want to bless your life. And I love you. And he said, not only that, my son came to you while you were yet a sinner. While you were in a sinning state saying you don't believe in me, my son came to you. You can't clean yourself up. You'll work a whole lifetime on trying to turn over the new leaf or clean yourself up. It's not going to work. All you're going to get is a whole bunch of books on the shelf that you're afraid to go back and look at. Well, I closed that leaf of my life out. No, you didn't. But it has to do with love. So what we need to understand is the power of love. Now, love is best described as action. You can say love all you want, but if your actions do not express true love, then you can use the term, nobody's going to pay any attention. You see, love is learned. You have to learn how to love your wife. You got to learn how to love your husband. And I can tell you right now, that's a lifetime of learning. As a husband, you know, you say, a woman, it looks like you'd get it together and think like I think. And she would say, man, I'm glad I don't think like you think. It is a give and take in life. It is understanding that you and I, when we're expressing love, we express that love through our actions, but a lot of time the individual we're expressing that love action to, they do something that makes us angry with them, and then the love we say is gone. Well, that's why we need to look at the two loves. When a love will lead you to heaven or lead you to hell, you got to make sure, folks, it's the right love that is in your heart. Here's a love spiritual test I wanted you to take. Oh, and when I tell you we're going to do a test, please, everybody sweats a test. What I would do in college, I would wait until the professor got through with his opening because I knew he was going to say a test. I was better not knowing because I'd worry about it. Until I realized I didn't study for it the next day. But I want you to think about this. There is a love spiritual test. Why do I need to go through this? Because you have to focus on love and the recipient of it. Now, the recipient of God's love is me and you. I love you. And God says, I love you just like you are. And when I gave my heart to Christ, then it's up to Him, as I follow His leadership, to lead me through that love. And He's never failed me. He's never failed you either. 1 John 4, verse 1. I want you to remember something about the Gospel of John and the writings of John, the book of Revelation and all. When you're looking to His Word, and we're focusing on what all He has to say about God and His love. If you have never read the Scriptures, what I would encourage you to do is this. I would encourage you to start out with the Gospel of John. You can get to Roman roads later, but the Gospel of John. John was very close to the Lord. John himself said that he was the beloved, and he was referred to as the beloved. Peter was out there going in the fits and everything all the time. And John and his brother, James, in the earlier years, they were called sons of thunder. They were tough. They were the ones that they could lose their cool pretty easy also. And isn't it something that the inner core with Jesus were Peter, James, and John? 1 John 4, 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Already here. The enemy of America, already here on our soil. The enemy of your life, already here. In your heart, in your mind, already here, vying for an opportunity to tempt in some way that'll make you feel bad about yourself. Now listen to me. I do know that the Scripture teaches that when I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, folks, I'm saved. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. And everybody can do all the bouncing back and forth they want to with that. God says, when I save you, I do it right the first time. God does not need a do-over. Jesus did it all right the first time. We're the ones that are falling. We're the ones that are choosing to walk away from true love in our life. Listen to 1 John 4, 6. We, speaking to the church, are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You want to watch a room clear out real quick in the secular realm? Walk into a business group or any, and they've asked you there to speak, and all of a sudden you walk in during their fellowship time. I always call it that, you know, there. And just as soon as you open your mouth and say, do all of you all know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And then you turn your back because you want to get a drink of water. Got that? And when you turn back around, the two that are left, you said, well, there's something I said. I've never understood where the world comes from when they ask the chaplain to speak, that they didn't think chaplain is connected to God. Chaplain, I am a Christian chaplain. Well, why don't you come speak? Okay. But see, you, everybody, as a Christian, you are of the family of God, and you're called by God to focus on the blessings He's given you, the ability He's giving you, and you are to stand strong in His Word. Whoever knows, they listen. But if they don't know me, they don't listen. They'll say, okay, so what do I do for the ones who don't listen? You don't do anything. You love them. I remember the days when I didn't listen to anybody. I think they're coming back on me the older I get. But I remember, don't you remember those? Your mother could tell you, do this, do that, do this, do that. And my excuse was always the same. I don't remember what you told me, and that's not the way I remember you saying it. It didn't work. And God says to the world, one day you'll stand before me, and you're not going to blame your lack of belief in me on anybody. Because God said, I've revealed myself to you. I reveal myself to you in your spirits. So you know who I am. Here's the love that leads to hell. Pay close attention to it, because I'm going to end on the love that leads to heaven. That's the part I love the most. The love that leads to hell, 1 John. So John is the one who's all of the scripture I'm focusing on. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So someone said, well, I got a lot of love in my heart. Yes, but what kind of love? Is it love for the world? Is it love for the beauty? I love the gift of our world. I love the gift of the United States of America. I love all the blessings God has given us, and I'm quickly reminded as I look at all the gifts that God has given us and ask the question, why has the United States of America turned its back on God? Why has the church withdrawn from the truth? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of the living God. He is who He says He is. And we as Christians supposedly are representing Christ. How can we represent Christ when we say, well, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings? Every time I read the scripture, I get my feelings hurt. Every time I preach, I get my feelings hurt. You see, why? They said, well, preachers are hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite. Let's get this right to begin with. A hypocrite is an individual, they say, that teaches one thing and does the opposite, right? Every time I read the Bible, I see God's Word says this. And I'm thinking, I didn't do that. Now, you're the preacher. Yeah? Let me tell you, as long as you're in a human body, you're going to deal with the battles of the human condition. But understand this, God's love for us is so great. Am I supposed to then skip over scripture in the Bible because I'm guilty of it? Or do I preach it? Do I teach it? The falling of the Christian is in the moving away from the truth of God. And the truth of God, when I read it, does it not show you how human you really are? Doesn't it show me that every time I even try, and the harder I try on myself, I'm going to mess up? So why do I feel that way? Because I'm a Christian. You see, non-believers don't care. If I don't believe in God's Word, and you have to believe in God's Word, folks. You have to have God's Word in your heart in order to accept Christ. So God says, I'm going to give you my Word. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't mean you don't love being here in the world. Doesn't mean the beauty of God's creation that you ignore. It means that you love the part of the world that gives you more things, more fun, we call it. 1 John 4, verse 3. But every spirit, now listen well to it, this is the love that sends to hell. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. What you have heard is coming, listen to him, and even now is already in the world. You mean Antichrist is in the world? Antichrist has been in the world since the beginning. Now there is the great Antichrist that is coming, if I can use that term. But anyone who is against Christianity, anyone who stands against Christ, is Antichrist. We're watching our nation pull away from the power of Jesus Christ. We're watching our nation turn and almost run from the name, the only name where we can see salvation. The only name is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Lord. And yet, every time the heat gets on, well, you know, you all, preacher, you just got to preach. You got to be calm. How can I be calm when I'm preaching the Word of God? That's exciting to me. How can I be calm when I have the answer that God has given me through His Spirit to tell people they don't have to go to hell, to tell people there's a cure? There is a cure. If there's a cure for any type of cancer, would I not have told it when I had cancer? If there's a cure for Agent Orange poisoning, would I not tell my fellow warriors about it? And yet there is a cure for the sin in my life, and His name is Jesus, and I get excited in using His name. Because His name is the power. What, I just don't believe, really? Then how come it bothers them? They'll use a generic God talking about it, the world will, but they won't mention Jesus. Well, just don't bring Jesus up. How can you bring the Father up without bringing the Son? There's where the hell lies. It's the love of self. Whether it's a preacher that's out proclaiming his greatness, or whether it is an individual proclaiming the truth of Christ. The only thing I can stand, the only thing in my life, the only kind of love that lasts forever is that love that I have in peace with Christ. I told you all last week during that message and focusing on hell and how bad it was. But the resurrection of the dead, you got to remember, when the graves were to open up, the Christians were the first to come out. And the great white throne judgment was at the end. And the great white throne judgment is a judgment you don't have anything to do with. If you could even watch it, you'll have to be spiritually empowered with Christ. You see, that is full of people who love the world and things, but did not love Christ. And their resurrection is in the physical human body. Christians will be spiritual. As you know, I get excited when Jesus walked through the doors or he appeared and they wondered how he got in there. I thought, man, it's a cool body. Glorified body. But those who don't know Jesus, that resurrection is of the physical human body that we see ourselves in today. If you choose the world, you'll die in the world, and the resurrection will be of the world, not of Christ. The love that leads to heaven, this is the good part. Only time I mention hell is let you know you don't have to go there. Is hell real? Yes. Real place? Yes. Is it an idea? Is it something in my mind? Yes. It's all those things. But it's real. But so is heaven. So is love. Now, I've talked about just a negative love for hell, for things. That goes against Christ. Anytime I put anything above Christ, if I put my family before I put my Savior, and the preaching, my family has no protection. So therefore, I will preach, I will teach, and I've watched God protect my family. And God says, Larry, can't you trust me with that teenager? Lord, I wished with all my heart that I could understand him. And God gave me some wisdom. And God let me know he's a teenager. My son's over 40 now. He's a teenager. Now, God didn't tell me this, but I knew the aliens had already got him. Teenagers. Kids, you see, we grow in our aspects of love, do we not? We grow through the experiences that we have. We parents said, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Well, Dad and Mom, how do you know that it's that bad? And Dad and Mom said, well, I just know, I heard it. That's because Dad and Mom did it. And I know to tell you not to. The love that leads to heaven, John says, is this. Now, this is Scripture. This is of God. And for all the people that want to make people crawl under the pew, over the pew, and do all of these things, and watch how they talk and watch how they walk, listen to me. 1 John 4:15-16. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Now, do you have that? Don't give me all those other rules. Listen to what God says. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. See, my existence, your existence continues because of God's love. The Lord God said, I don't want anyone to perish. I wished all would come to salvation. I'm waiting. Jesus is waiting till he comes back so that all who will accept him as Lord and Savior, it will have been accomplished. God does not cut anything short. God is not on our timetable. But God says, I love them all. God loved Larry Vance even as a Marine in Vietnam or anywhere else. But I knew God truly loved me. It wasn't when I was in the jungle or fighting in the Dominican Republic. I knew God loved me. It was after I got back from R&R. And if God could forgive me as rest and recuperation in China. Listen, folks, God's love for me is not shaken. I love you, Larry. You're a mess. I love you, Larry. And you're my mess. And we spend our whole lifetime focusing on the love of God, or we should. 1 John 4:2. Now, this is how. Now, listen to it. You want to know, okay, how do I know whether a person is saved or not? How do I know that? Listen, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Don't you think that's important? Follow God's Word. Don't be looking at a Christian out here, well, they can't be Christian, and acting like that. Really? I know a lot of Christians, and I can see it in them, Christ, and they live worse than most in the world. It doesn't mean they're not Christian. They're sure not pleasing God. And they're not going to find the joy of life in Christ when they're finding the joy of life in the world, which doesn't last very long. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And people say, as they tell me, that's too simple. And I remind you, it was the simplicity of the gospel that turned everyone away, and especially the Pharisees in Jesus' day. What's this too simple? I mean, we've got all these laws and rules right here. We got them jumping. Jesus, you come along and start messing it up. letting them know that God loves them just the way they are. Now, that means we're going to lose our power. So we can't let you do that and get by with it. Don't ever get in a tussle with God's power, because you're going to lose. But how do I know whether an individual is of God? Recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And once again, you say that it is, anybody can say it. And I'm going to tell you the story again from a retired state trooper that was here for a long time, ended up teaching and doing some preaching after he left. And he came into me one day in my office and he said, Larry, I don't understand. I read this scripture to him. And he said, well, anybody can say that, Larry. And I said, no, they can't. You know that anybody can say it. All you got to do is ask them. I said, do you play golf every day, don't you? Yes. Is there anybody out there on the golf course that you think don't know Jesus? Yeah. Most of them. I said, oh, okay. I want you to go over tomorrow, and I want you to ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? When you acknowledge that, what you're acknowledging is Jesus is the Son of God who he says he is. Now you go and you ask him. He came back the next day and he said, I never saw anything like it. Anybody could have said it. I said, that's what you told me yesterday. Tell me what happened. None of them would say it. None of them would say it. How come, Larry? Because you have to know Jesus to accept and acknowledge Jesus. My association with Jesus Christ is not a religion. I don't even like religion. It's got too much everything in it. It's the relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The world can call it a religion, Christianity. Christians ought to call it a personal relationship. It is about the love of Christ, not about the rules of a denomination or any of the other. God says, I love you. I take God's love serious. When God says, I love you, Larry, like you are, it didn't mean he was going to leave me that way. And so I kept thinking, you know, all right, about the time I get old enough to die, gosh, I've been old enough to die for I don't know how long, time I get old enough to die, I will have got this. You know, now I get it type of idea. And God's still working on me. You know, one day when I, the real me in here, when I step from this human vehicle, the body, when I stand clear of it, then and only then will I be able to praise the Lord that, Lord, I now know it's nothing in what I did. All of it is in you. Thank you for loving me, a human sinner. When I said, Jesus, forgive me, do you know he forgave me? I don't know why in the past 2 to 3 years, the Spirit of the Lord moving within an individual day and night. But I can wake up saying, Father, forgive me. Driving down the highway, Father, forgive me. You know, you think about your past. You think about this. You think about that. Well, I've figured out that the rest of my life, I will have to pray, Father, forgive me every second of every day or I'll never catch up. And I realize this. The Lord's already forgiven me. When I said, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, he came in the flesh to take the guilt of the flesh. It means he already forgave me. So, will I spend my whole time thinking about what if I had done something different? Does not it sound like Satan is tricking you to love something other than Christ? I don't have that much time left, and I know it. But I'll promise you this as your pastor. every second that God allows me to continue preaching, I will share with you His word through my heart from His love. I won't play those foolish games. And listen to this. 1 John 4, verse 10. This is love. You want to know what love is? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's why He had to be 100% human. He had to deal with every temptation that any human being would ever deal with in the past, present, or future. Jesus took it all. Do I believe it? Yes. Do I know it? Yes. Can I explain it? No. I'm born again. I've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Explain to me what that means. I can only tell you I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. And the Lord says to us, pay attention to my Son. For you to know the Son means that you know me. As Jesus walked here with the religious leaders and all, He said to them, and He's still talking to His disciples, they like I never caught it. Don't you understand? When you ask me, show me God and we'll believe, don't you understand? I am God. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Folks, be careful with the term love. Because love can either send to hell or guarantee heaven. It's which door of love you're going to knock on. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We praise You for Your forgiveness, for Your truth, Father. Just help us, dear Lord God, to accept the mercy that You offer us. Give us the courage and the boldness to stand strong and true in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for putting up with us. We praise Your name, dear Lord God, for loving us when we didn't even care about You. We are Your children. Help us to grow in strength. Give us the wisdom we need, Father. For it is through Your wisdom that we can combat hell within the world You've sent us. We ask Your blessing now upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen.